The region's told us loud and clear that it wants us to do more. We intend to meet that call.
Top U.S. diplomat visits Indo-Pacific. It's Wednesday, December 15th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Casgill in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, bleak UN Afghanistan update. South Korean and Australian leaders meet. Helping astronauts see better. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The Indo-Pacific is the fastest growing region on the planet. Speaking in Indonesia Tuesday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken reaffirmed U.S. commitment to the Indo-Pacific by outlining five areas of focus. They include freedom, strengthening relationships, building prosperity, increasing resiliency, and maintaining security. VOA Asia's Jim Stevenson has more on the Secretary's remarks.
Antony Blinken said the United States will bolster regional freedom by standing up against leaders who don't respect rights, seek an open, secure, and reliable internet, and defend rules-based order to protect the rights of all countries. While Blinken said the Indo-Pacific does not represent a competition between the United States and China, he did single out actions by China.
From Northeast Asia to Southeast Asia, and from the Mekong River to the Pacific Islands, about Beijing's aggressive actions, claiming open seas as their own, distorting open markets through subsidies to its state-run companies, denying the exports or revoking deals for countries whose policies it does not agree with, engaging in illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing activities. Countries across the region want this behavior to change. We do too. That's why we're determined to ensure freedom of navigation in the South China Sea, where Beijing's aggressive actions there threaten the movement of more than $3 trillion worth of commerce every year. When commerce can't traverse open seas, that means that farmers are blocked from shipping their produce. Factories can't ship their microchips. Hospitals are blocked from getting life-saving medicines. 5 years ago, an international tribunal delivered a unanimous and legally binding decision, firmly rejecting unlawful, expansive South China Sea maritime claims as being inconsistent with international law. We and other countries, including South China Sea claimants, will continue to push back on such behavior. It's also why we have an abiding interest in peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait, consistent with our longstanding commitments.
The Secretary of State said the United States will forge stronger connections by deepening regional treaty alliances and going further to include global partnerships toward ASEAN interests. Blinken also said broad-based prosperity was a key goal.
The region's told us loud and clear that it wants us to do more. We intend to meet that call. At President Biden's direction, we're developing a comprehensive Indo-Pacific economic framework to pursue our shared objectives, including around trade in the digital economy, technology, resilient supply chains, decarbonization and clean energy, infrastructure, worker standards, and other areas of shared interest.
Infrastructure is also a major focus for the U.S. in the Indo-Pacific region, and Blinken emphasized a new digital customs platform to clear goods across borders more efficiently, which he says already has helped maintain trade during the pandemic.
During the first year of the pandemic, the countries that were most active on the platform saw their trade activity rise by 20%, when most other cross-border trade was actually falling. And at the U.S.-ASEAN summit in October, President Biden committed additional U.S. support to the single window. We'll work with partners to make our supply chains more secure and more resilient. I think we've all seen through the pandemic just how vulnerable they are, how damaging disruptions can be, including shortages of masks and microchips and pile-up supports. We've been leading efforts to bring the international community together to try to resolve bottlenecks and build greater resiliency against future shocks.
Resiliency against a variety of adversities is a top priority, according to Blinken, who mentioned fighting climate change and the distribution of vaccines as examples.
Of the 300 million doses of safe, effective vaccines that the United States has already distributed worldwide, we've sent more than 100 million doses to the Indo-Pacific, and over 25 million of those have come here to Indonesia. By the end of next year, we will have donated more than 1.2 billion doses to the world. And we've provided over $2.8 billion in additional assistance to the region to save lives, including $77 million here in Indonesia for everything from personal protective equipment to medical oxygen for hospitals. And we've been providing this aid free of charge with no strings attached. By making most of these donations through COVAX, we've ensured that they're distributed equitably based on need, not on politics.
Finally, the top U.S. diplomat said the United States is committed to Indo-Pacific security and countering regional threats.
We don't want conflict in the Indo-Pacific. That's why we seek serious and sustained diplomacy with the DPRK, with the ultimate goal of denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. We'll work with allies and partners to address the threat posed by the DPRK's nuclear and missile programs through a calibrated, practical approach, while also strengthening our extended deterrence. And that's why President Biden told President Xi last month that we share a profound responsibility to ensure that the competition between our countries does not veer into conflict. We take that responsibility with the greatest seriousness, because the failure to do so would be catastrophic for all of us.
After Indonesia, Blinken makes visits to Malaysia and Thailand. Jim Stevenson, VOA News, Washington.
Read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We are also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. First case of Omicron variant reported on mainland China. Hong Kong's Jimmy Lai and seven others given jail terms. Biden's first North Korea sanction seen as symbolic. Britain and Pakistan urge collective response to Afghan humanitarian crisis. U.S. military will not punish personnel over deadly errant strike in Kabul. Find complete coverage on all these headlines, plus more stories on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Wednesday. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights warns Afghanistan is facing a profound human rights crisis, and failure by the Taliban rulers to uphold the rights of their people will lead to further turmoil and hinder the country's development. The High Commissioner's report has been presented at a special session of the UN Human Rights Council. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
This unrelentingly bleak report describes a society where millions of people are unable to meet their basic needs because of the near collapse of the Afghan economy. It says people suffering poverty and hunger are forced to take desperate measures to survive, including child labor, child marriage, and even the sale of children. Before the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan in August, the United Nations recorded the highest number of civilian casualties on record, with women and children among the main victims. While casualty numbers have dropped, the report says civilians continue to be killed in attacks by various armed groups. UN Deputy High Commissioner for Human Rights, Nada Al-Nashif, tells the Council extrajudicial killings are increasing across the country. She expresses concern at the continued recruitment of children by an extremist jihadist militant group and Taliban authorities.
While the Taliban takeover has brought an uneasy end to fighting against governmental forces in the country, the current situation leaves the population with little protection in terms of human rights. Women and girls in particular face great uncertainty with respect to the rights to education, to livelihoods, and to participation, in which they had made important gains over the past two decades.
The UN Credentials Committee has decided to not allow the Taliban to represent Afghanistan at the United Nations. So Nasser Andisha, ambassador to the UN in Geneva under ex-president Afgan Ghani's regime, remains the person who the UN recognizes as the legitimate representative of Afghanistan. In taking the floor at the council, the ambassador thanked the High Commissioner for her report. He called on the international community to side with the people of Afghanistan and to not allow the Taliban to deprive them of their fundamental rights and freedoms. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still to come on VOA Asia, South Korea's and Australia's leaders meet. Happening now in Asia, shares of Chinese property developer Shimao Group plunged on Tuesday after the sale of one of its businesses and a state media report that it had canceled agreed-upon apartment sales. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. South Korean President Moon Jae-in is in Australia for talks with Prime Minister Scott Morrison. Analysts have said that enhancing defense ties is a priority of the four-day visit, along with China's growing regional influence. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in is the first world leader to arrive since Australia closed its borders to most foreign travellers in March 2020. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison welcomed Moon and South Korea's First Lady Kim Jong-suk to Canberra on Monday.
I'm so pleased we could join together, as we have been threatening to do for many years now through COVID, and we can now come together in this way, and I'm so pleased to be able to host you and to formally elevate our relationship to a comprehensive strategic partnership.
The leaders have agreed on several new joint initiatives around clean energy technology, the supply of critical minerals, and defence. Under a new deal worth $771 million, the South Korean company Hanwha will provide 30 howitzers, ammunition supply vehicles, and radars to detect enemy artillery. It's the largest military contract between Australia and an Asian nation. Analysts have said South Korea is also well placed to win a contract with Australia worth $21.3 billion for new infantry attack vehicles. Speaking through an interpreter, Moon said the two countries were committed to an open, inclusive, and prosperous Indo-Pacific region.
Korea and Australia uphold the same values, and our position in terms of the geopolitical situation, we are like-minded. Therefore, Korea is focused on a steadfast alliance with the U.S. and also with China. We want a harmonized relationship.
Moon is the first South Korean president to come to Australia in more than a decade. This year, the two nations will mark 60 years of diplomatic relations. South Korea is Australia's fourth largest trading partner. A free trade deal has been in place since December 2014. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This is Science in a Minute.
A microgravity environment, such as what space travelers experience, can affect the human body in several ways. According to a press release from the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, over time, weightlessness can trigger a condition called spaceflight-associated neuroocular syndrome. The disorder can cause the eyeballs to flatten, the optic nerves to swell, and impair vision. This happens because in microgravity, bodily fluids place continuous pressure behind the eyes. To help address these issues, researchers at UT Southwestern have developed a space-age sleeping bag. The device seals the lower body and, with a vacuum mechanism, suctions bodily fluids that in space naturally flow into the head while lying down. Research details were published in JAMA Ophthalmology. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia. Make sure you find us on all our social media platforms. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Enjoy the day, stay safe, and be well.